Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you, as always, by InsideThePenguins.com. I'm your host, Nick Belsky, joined, as always, by Nick Horwat, and we have a fun show for you guys today, a show that we like to do at the end of every season. This is now the fifth edition of the Tip of the Iceberg Penguins Awards. We'll obviously talk about, you know, best first-year Penguin, Team Selke, and all of that in the second and third segments in this one. But before we get into that, is there a rookie goaltender that's going to get a shot next year to make a difference on the Pittsburgh Penguins NHL squad? We'll talk about that in just a minute. But before we get into even that, a quick call to action here, because as you mostly know, we're giving away a Jaromir Jagr bobblehead. All you have to do is subscribe to Inside the Penguins on YouTube, screenshot that proof of subscription, and post it under our pinned tweet at Iceberg Podcast. If you want a bonus entry, make sure you leave a five-star review on either Apple or Spotify. Same rules apply. Screenshot that review and post it under the pinned tweet. The winner will be selected 1 week from today on our live stream, April 30th, around 4 p.m. that Tuesday, as we do every single Tuesday, including later today. I'll be live answering some of your questions as the Penguin season came to an end in the past week. But Horwat, you were there on Friday listening to Kyle Dubas talk for about 45 minutes, and one of the big things he discussed was the Penguins' goaltending situation. And the one thing that he said that got a lot of people riled up is what he said about rookie goaltender Joel Blomqvist. He said Dubas is looking at how Blomqvist, quote, asserts himself in the AHL playoffs, which kick off tomorrow evening, and that may play into their goaltending decisions that summer. Are you surprised that they're already looking at Blomqvist as an NHL potential option in year two in North America?
I don't think I'm too surprised. I mean, he had a phenomenal year this year, and it's hard to predict goaltending. It truly is. So getting down to it, when you just kind of see this youngster come in, you always, the organization kind of always had this high standing for. He came into his first season in professional hockey, and or North American hockey, I should say, and, you know, stopped the lights out. There's, you can't say he shot the lights out. I mean, he's, you know, he made every stop he could. He had a fantastic season, earning all rookie team honors in the AHL, second all-star team in the AHL, among some of the best rookie goaltenders the organization has ever seen in, on that team. So I'm not totally surprised, because the numbers and the games played kind of spoke for themselves and the way he performed, and giving him this new stage of the postseason that Wilkes-Barre Scranton hasn't seen in a long time, or at least had a competitive team that could really maybe do something in a long time. If he's able to perform, there's no reason why he shouldn't be given that option to compete at the upcoming training camp. I don't think, you know, saying he has a shot at the NHL is true. Saying he earns it right away out of the playoffs is a bit of a jump, but he's going to have that opportunity to come into camp with maybe different goalie decisions are made depending on how he does, so his camp is a bit easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it affects how the Penguins are going to go about filling that goaltender room over the summer based on whether or not he performs well at the American Hockey League playoffs. You mentioned, you know, among the best rookie goaltenders the Penguins have ever seen at the AHL level, tied for second for most wins by a rookie goaltender with 25 this season, tying Matt Murray and falling one short of Marc-Andre Fleury, who set that, you know, standard back in the early 2000s. Finishes with a .921 save percentage, a 2.16 goals against average. He was very, very good for Wilkes-Barre, and he's a large reason as to why they're back in the postseason for the first time in a couple of years. I'm intrigued to see how he performs, especially knowing that that had to have gotten back to him, right? It had to have gotten back to him, and I'm sure the organization has been open with him about what his trajectory is going to be if he goes out there and continues this type of performance in the postseason. So I want to see how he responds to that. And honestly, that team is going to be interesting just altogether. You look at the names that they've added just over the past week. Owen Pickering going over there. Tristan Broz, who is coming over from the University of Denver after signing his three-year ELC, getting a tryout deal for the postseason. And then you add on, you know, a guy like Ville Koivunen, who just came over at the deadline. He comes over from Europe, and he's going to get his first taste of AHL action with the Penguins organization. It's going to be certainly impactful what happens over the course of those postseason playoff games.
Yeah, it's no matter who's on the team, like that's going to be an impressive team to watch in the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins for this postseason. And I brought this up when around the trade deadline too, going back to Blomqvist and how much faith you could tell the team was putting into him whenever they traded away Magnus Helberg. It wasn't there was all the talk that the Penguins are going to trade a goalie, they're going to deal a goalie. It could be Jari or Nedeljkovic. It ended up being neither of them, and it ended up being their third string at the time in Magnus Helberg. And I said this because they were not throwing in the towel on the season. That means if Jari or Nedeljkovic goes down, turns out it ended up being, well, they're just going to start one goalie until the end of the season. But at the time, when you're looking at it, it's if one of those names goes down, regardless of who it was, that means Joel Blomqvist is the backup, and he's going to be maybe put into situations. I mean, even during that 13-game stretch that Nedeljkovic got, Jari was put in twice, and you know, it for 30 minutes in total, I think it was, something like that. Gave up, I think, 3 goals in that time, but still, he was that. If let's say it was a true injury for one of them, that could have been Joel Blomqvist going in for his NHL debut during a very important run for the team. That trading away one of the goaltenders on the rung for a guy who, yeah, got a shutout in the last game of the season and Weber, it obviously doesn't mean anything. You could tell that this organization has faith in Joel Blomqvist, and they're going to give him his fair shake in fighting for, whether it be a doubt starter, but for an NHL role next year of sort.
So if all goes well, if he performs, stands on his head in whatever type of run that they have at the American Hockey League level, do you see them genuinely going, potentially, as Tristan Jarry, Joel Blomqvist, as your 1-2, heading into the 2024-25 season? And do you like that as a goaltending tandem for next season?
I could see it. I don't know how much I like it just because goaltending is just a crapshoot all the time. And you don't. Maybe if you were to hit me with if you were to throw out a possibility of a random third name, we don't know what the goaltending market's going to look like yet. But maybe there's a random third name that is the AHL starter, but is going to come up quickly. There's all kind of different scenarios that would go into me being okay with it. At the moment, I would say I wouldn't be shocked. I just don't know if I'd be totally okay with it. But again, I haven't seen the playoffs yet. I haven't seen Blomqvist really do anything in person yet, so let's see how things play out with that sort of thing, and then maybe I'd become more okay with it. I mean, if he is the real deal, and because everyone will always say goaltending is voodoo, but then there are those handful of goalies where you look at and go, okay, he's the guy though, without doubt. There is no voodoo there. He is the guy. If he can prove to somehow at this young age be the guy, or have potential to be the guy, that's a lot of fun, and I would absolutely be okay with it.
I feel like that's a big if, though, because if you look around the league and the way it is now, there are just not very many guys like that. I mean, it's Andrei Vasilevskiy. It's to appoint Igor Shesterkin, but he even lost his net at some point this season to Jonathan Quick. I mean, you used to be able to say that about a guy like Ilya Sorokin. He hasn't started in the playoffs, right? He lost it to Semyon Varlamov. There are not really many guys that just command that net the way that they used to, the way it was Carey Price, or the way it was, you know, even if you go back further, a guy like Martin Brodeur, who just commanded the net and was the guy for 70 games throughout a season. So I don't like this on, you know, on its face. And honestly, nothing that I see in the American Hockey League playoffs are going to make me any more comfortable with a tandem of Tristan Jarry and Joel Blomqvist. And really, it doesn't have much to do with Blomqvist. I mean, for one, it's just where the Penguins are at, whereas you want to win a Stanley Cup that season, like next season is when they need to win a Stanley Cup, because you're running out of kicks at the can with Sidney Crosby. And when that's over, it's going to be a gap between then and the next contention window for even a playoff spot. So you're trying to win a Stanley Cup next season. Do you really want to put that in the hands of a rookie matched with a guy who can't play from January on? Like, that's the other thing. It's more about where the team is at and Tristan Jarry himself. I don't trust at this point Tristan Jarry past the month of January.
Yeah, I can already tell there's a lot of people kind of shouting, well, what about Nedeljkovic? Well, it sounds like, judging by what Dubas said at the presser, it sounds like Nedeljkovic is going to end up being the odd man out here. Mm-hmm. Dubas said it very much, essentially, that Nedeljkovic has been clear about what he wants in the future, which I think is just sneaky way of saying he wants to be a starter again, which absolutely he does and deserves it considering that 13 game run he went on. He has the pedigree to do it considering all rookie team a couple years ago, and, you know, had a couple of down seasons in Detroit, but came back this year even as a backup spot starter and starter down the line. Proved that he can still cut it, and he's going to demand a lot of money. His contract is up, so, and yeah, you know, it's, you could say, trade Jarry then. Find a way to sign Nedeljkovic, make it a Nedeljkovic Blomqvist. That also doesn't sound too great, considering, yep, Nedeljkovic had a great run. Those last five or six weren't phenomenal, though. They weren't. Mm-hmm. He was giving up four or five goals. The Penguins were just outscoring guys. Mm-hmm. And there, we don't need to get too deep into that run, but also, yeah, trading Jarry is not going to be easy. That's a big contract he's got left. So, as much as Dubas may try to trade Jarry somehow, or maybe try and sign Nedeljkovic and go with that tandem, it's just unlikely. The likely outcome is going to be Jarry, goalie B, who just may be Blomqvist.
Yeah, it's mostly Jarry. It's mostly the fact that Jarry can't perform late into a season and has yet to show that he can perform in a postseason. Now, I've been trying to kind of back him a little bit, especially if you go back a year ago whenever his contract was up. I was saying, all right, if you bring him back for the right price, this is a guy that hasn't had many opportunities in the postseason. He's had one series. But when you look at the splits between pre-All-Star game and post-All-Star game, or pre-January 1st and post-January 1st, this year there was no excuse, and he still fell off a cliff and still lost his net to a point where, yeah, he was sick at certain points throughout that final run, but there were opportunities for him to get in the lineup when he wasn't sick, and they didn't start him. They did start Alex Nedeljkovic. They didn't want to put Tristan Jarry back in the net. So, you know, it's a situation that's going to be one of the most important and one of the most pivotal for the Penguins this offseason. I just don't know if running with a goaltender that struggles late in the season and a rookie is your best option. But again, that might not be their option A. They might be looking at other options. They might be looking, like you mentioned, to trade a Tristan Jarry, maybe bring back Alex Nedeljkovic. They might be looking to bring a completely new name into the fold to go with Tristan Jarry. So we'll have to just keep an eye on that. But I thought it was interesting when Kyle Dubas mentioned that, and it was Joel Blomqvist is looked at as being one of the options for this team as early as next season. So we'll have to monitor that as time goes on. But when we come back, we're going to look at our 2023-24 Tip of the Iceberg Penguins Awards. We're going to start it off with Best First-Year Penguin, Breakout Player of the Year, and Unsung Hero right after this break. Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you as always by InsideThePenguins.com. We have our Tip of the Iceberg Penguins Awards, part one in this segment. Part two will come up next segment with three more awards and a fourth one that is not us awarding, but awarded based on the performance from the players on the ice. But let's start with the best first-year Penguin, Horwat. Who do you give that award to? Who do you think made the best first impression in the 2023-24 season?
It might be a little handicapped, but I'm going to have to go with Michael Bunting. Just, I know it was only a handful of games. It wasn't the full season to kind of see what he could be about the best first-year Penguin. But he's not going to be able to get this award next year. And looking at Michael Bunting going into a full season is going to be great stuff for this team. I just feel like he didn't fill the void left by Jake Guentzel, but he filled a void that was definitely left open. And he's going to be an absolutely crucial part of the team going forward. And like I said, it was only a handful of games, but who else would be taking this award in terms of first-year Penguins? Erik Karlsson is probably the only other answer. Maybe Alex Nedeljkovic if we really needed to. But I just think Erik Karlsson, I think we all know, had too many moments where the fan base was against him, where maybe there were some reporters against him, and now it is he picked everything up at the end of the year, but for like most of the team, too little too late. And Alex Nedeljkovic, just hard to put a stamp on that one. It really is. Who knows? I just think Michael Bunting's quick impact just stood above everyone else.
Yeah, you look at the Penguins' record with Michael Bunting, it was 10-7-4, which over an 82-game season is a 94-point pace. It's not breaking any records, it's not breaking the bank, but you know what it does do? Gets the Penguins into the playoffs this year, and in fact, it gets them into a series against the Carolina Hurricanes as the third-place team in the Metropolitan Division. And Kyle Dubas always mentions that's what he's looking for. He's looking to how to compete within the division, how to finish in that top three in the division, he said, because at that point you're in the playoffs, and at that point you're battling it out for potentially to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, because if you're better than everybody in your division, based on how the playoffs are set up, that's where you're going to likely end up. So, you know, 10-7-4 with Michael Bunting, and that includes the tail end of this team just absolutely throwing games away right after the Jake Guentzel trade. 19 points in 21 games. It's hard to refute that, so I'm going to go the same way. Michael Bunting, he played 21 games. That's a quarter of a season. Yeah. And not only the impact that he felt, that was felt on that second line, which finally looked consistent through the final 13, 14, 15 games of the season with him on it, he made the power play look better. Now, it didn't perform better, but he made it at least a little bit more potent. It wasn't something where every time they got on the power play, they spend more time retrieving the puck than they do actually cycling it in the offensive zone. And he finally gave a little bit more pressure in that bumper position. I think that's something that they can build off of going into next season. So we both go with Michael Bunting as the best first-year Penguin. Let's move over to Breakout Player of the Year. We might actually match on this one as well, because I feel like this is a pretty obvious answer, but Horwat, I'll let you go first with this one.
Yeah, it was my prediction going into the season of who would have a breakout season, and it ended up being Drew O'Connor. He proved to be, I still don't want to say top six player, but he proved he can play there. He proved he can play alongside Sidney Crosby. Way more than, I mean, we never looked at Tom Simone as a top six player, but they kept shoving him there. And now Drew O'Connor, like I said, I don't look at him as that sort of player, but he proved he can play there. And I don't know if I want to say it was expected from him, but I predicted that he would have that breakout season, and I still think he exceeded expectations even. He's an NHL player. There's no question about it anymore. He'll be here starting next season. We'll see where he lines up at that point, see how the roster shuffles out, but there's no doubt that he'll be on the NHL roster, because even going into this season, I said he'd be a breakout player. I still think there was that feeling of he's still kind of a fringe guy, right? Like, he could maybe be sent down at some point. Or even be a 13th forward. I think I may have had him a 13th forward or one of my, predictions. But regardless, he'll be in the lineup next year. He'll be in the top nine, bare minimum. And there's no going back for him. He's an NHL player.
You mentioned that he meshed well with Sidney Crosby. He also meshed well with Evgeny Malkin. Now, he didn't get the same results that you know, Michael Bunting did when getting onto that line, but he brought a lot of similar factors. I mean, he was a straight line player. He's somebody that Malkin could actually get some space because he's doing a lot of the hard work. And Drew O'Connor mentioned it at locker room cleanout. The one thing that he wants to get better at is playing in that net front. And that's something that I think being alongside Michael Bunting and watching him up close is going to help Drew O'Connor. But you go back as late as World Championships last year, whenever he went to play for Team USA, that's when something really clicked for O'Connor. His offense showed up. He had 10 points in that tournament, and that brought and elevated his stock going into the summer. And then he went into camp and he performed well. He earned that third line role right out of camp, and then he just continued to earn everything that he got. Now, does he have a ceiling as a Brian Rust guy who scores 25 to potentially 30 goals a season? Probably not. But is he somebody that could fill that Connor Sherry role of somebody who has a lot of talent, is probably a third liner on most teams, but with a talented center like a Sidney Crosby, like an Evgeny Malkin that needs a young player that's just going to go north and south, that he's going to go forecheck hard, and he's going to be able to finish plays both on the rush and off the cycle? Yeah, I think that that is 100% a ceiling for Drew O'Connor. You look at what he did this year. He tripled his career highs in goals and points with 16 goals and 33 points this year. He had a phenomenal season, and I think that there's no other option whenever you're looking at breakout player for the Penguins than a guy like Drew O'Connor. The only other name that might come to mind is Valtteri Puustinen, but I feel like that's somebody who is still maybe a year or two off of his true breakout season whenever he starts to put up the numbers that O'Connor was able to put up this season.
Yeah, he'll be there. He'll come in to next season much more confident as well, and maybe actually shooting the puck a little more. He only finished with 5 goals, and that's just for the kind of player he is and his skill set. That's not good enough. And there's still room to grow with him as a former 7th round pick. That he'll probably also be in the opening night roster come next season, considering the direction Kyle Dubas might be taking this team, but. Mm-hmm. He'll need to bring more next season for sure. And I just can't think of anyone else off the top of my head right now who might fit the mold. Jonathan Gruden, but just didn't play enough.
I was going to say the same thing for Jack St. Ivany. Probably could be included in this as well. But again, you know, I mean, we gave it to Michael Bunting after 21 games. St. Ivany was up there. But again, there was not anybody else in this award that came close to Drew O'Connor because of what he was able to do over the entire season. So,
yeah. And maybe if John Ludwig was able to finish the season and step his game up a little bit more in the right areas, because he, like Bunting, brought something that had been missing. Let's say he was able to flesh that out, and then down the stretch here, if he was able to become a useful piece as a defensive mindset, he scored a couple of goals. I mean, scored more than Jansen Harkins this year, so I think that's a bonus. But
I scored as much as Jansen Harkins this year, so I don't know if that's something we should be using to actually quantify player performance. But either way, a couple of decent performances from the Penguins for breakout player of the year, but it definitely goes to Drew O'Connor. Hopefully we get this one a little bit different. Unsung hero. Before we head to break, Horwat, who do you have as the unsung hero for the Pittsburgh Penguins in 2023-24?
I was hoping you would go first. Maybe I could change it, but I'll say Brian Rust, just because big old bounce back season, big old locker room guy, big old leader and veteran on this team that it goes a bit under the radar in terms of those leader and veteran qualities, but just an outstanding player, had a huge bounce back season. Had he played all year, career high, he already had a career high in goals, right? 28?
He did, 28 goals in 62 games.
He could have cracked 30 if he was given even just a couple of more games. So there's something super important about Brian Rust. I know when he signed his contract, we discussed the idea of selling him off at the end of it. That's still very possible, mm-hmm. Considering the trade restrictions will be lifted, I think, after next season. Mm-hmm. But still, for now, you're going to want him around into that season. And then, for what it's worth, Brian Hextall did some clean work on that contract. I mean, did I say Brian?
You did. I was going to let you go with it. But Ron Hextall did some clean work
all the
with
time,
that one.
Man.
All good. I mean, you look at what Brian Rust was able to do just simply after and simply after the Jake Guentzel trade. I mean, 14 goals in 25 games after Guentzel left, not the trade, I should say, because he missed a handful of games due to injury following his final game with the Pens on February 14th. But 14 goals in 25 games for Rust without Guentzel this year, that's a 45-goal pace. That's not just, hey, he's a 30-goal scorer. That's a 45-goal pace in over a quarter of a season. So, and he was over a 40-goal pace in the first quarter of the season before he got hurt as well. So a very good year for Brian Rust. He needs to stay healthy, and he needs to be able to put it together a full season. If he does that, he's going to blow past that 30 goal mark, because he has the talent, he has the ability, and he's 100% one of the most all-around, if not the most all-around player on the Penguins forward core. But since you went with Brian Rust, I'm going to go a different direction. Unsung hero Marcus Pettersson. I mean, this is, for the most part this season, until Jack St. Ivany came out of the woodworks, this was the only defensive defenseman that was actually playing his position, right? The Penguins were one of the teams that were always giving up, I think gave up the most odd man rushes against among any NHL team this year. He was always the one. He was always the guy back. He was just hung out to dry by Letang, by Carlson, by P.O. Joseph, the times that they randomly shared the ice together. He was the guy that was always back. He was the guy that was breaking up the two-on-ones. And when he did it, you were a little bit more surprised. And did he have his downside this year at points? Yes, he did. But at the same time, look at the workload that he was handed. Look at the role that he was handed. And look at the way that he handled it. It was phenomenal for Marcus Pettersson. And I think that he obviously gets a lot of credit because of the way that Carlson plays. It highlights the way that, you know, Pettersson plays, because he's always the guy back. He's always the guy trying to make up for ground for the other guy that's on the ice with him. But, you know, I do think that he's still an unsung hero, because I think that when you look at the way that he's performed, his underlying numbers aren't great, but that's, again, a product of being bounced around the lineup and being used just as the defensive stalwart for whoever's struggling the most defensively at the time. So I do think that he deserves a lot of credit for what he put up this year. Obviously, career high in points as well. That goes with the territory of playing with Erik Karlsson the majority of the season. But a phenomenal year for Marcus Pettersson, and another just consistent and solid year where now he's going into a contract season. He can really make that money next year with another season under his belt with Carlson and with Letang.
I wouldn't be shocked if he gets paid this summer, though. Really, it's true. That's how good he's been. But whenever you mentioned, did he have his, you know, his faults or his negativity? Yeah, but they were few and far between. It was a good season from beginning to end for Marcus Pettersson, and you know, just having faults just comes with being a defenseman. Really, that's just part of the game. That every now and again, every so often, you're gonna have a bad read, you're gonna have a bad chase or a bad pinch. That's just what happens. The key is to make up for him, like he did very often, I'd say, when it came to making up for those bad pinches, or not letting it build, not letting those plays stack on each other, and it looks like, and you end up looking like kind of late season Chris Letang, which I'm sure we can discuss a little bit, but it was good from beginning to end for Marcus Pettersson, and he's like Sidney Crosby, eligible for a new contract or a contract extension this summer, and it wouldn't shock me to see that get done. I don't know how long of a deal, but he's still young. He's got time in his career, but I think it's going to be something well-deserved. I know it turns out that teams were calling about him, but the Penguins weren't biting, so it's that's going to be a good player to have around, especially next to Erik Karlsson for the next few seasons.
Yeah, and one of the biggest goals of the Penguins this offseason is going to be trying to fix that defense. You don't fix that defense by letting Marcus Pettersson walk or making him upset heading into a contract year. So I can see them going out and at least starting contract negotiations with Pettersson's group. But we're going to take a quick break. When we return, closing out the Tip of the Iceberg Penguins Awards. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg. We're doing the Tip of the Iceberg Awards for the 2023-24 Pittsburgh Penguins season. Before we get into our Team Selke, our Team Norris, and then, of course, our Team MVP, a.k.a. the Sidney Crosby Invitational, Let's give out the Iron Penguin Award. This is given to the players that play in every single game of the regular season, perform in all 82. Never before have we had six players play all 82 games, but that's what we had this season. Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang, Erik Karlsson, Marcus Pettersson, and Lars Eller all play all 82 games. And it's kind of crazy to think that this is now the second consecutive season that Crosby and Malkin have played in all 82 together. The only 2 years in their career that they've played all 82 together, and they still missed the postseason both times.
Yeah, and there's no easy way of putting it of how, why that is. I don't think they could explain why it is, especially considering the season Sidney Crosby had this year, the late push Evgeny Malkin had this year, and the season he had last year. It's a weird situation, and man, does the rest of the team need to be fixed around them to really drive some things home? And who knows if that will continue, because even with Sidney Crosby, he's playing great, but eventually aging is going to come around. It's a matter of protecting that. And I still think Crosby's got good years under his belt. I'm just kind of saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is Marcus Pettersson's second time winning. Same with Malkin and Crosby, who are now back-to-back winners of the Iron Penguin Award. The best ability is availability sometimes, and these six players were available for Mike Sullivan and company all season long. So congratulations to them on a full 82-game slate. Let's move over and talk about the Team Selke, the best defensive forward is what it wants to. I was going to say defensive offenseman, but that's not really how you talk about that. The best defensive forward for the Penguins, Horwat, who are you giving the Selke to this year from the Penguins?
I'm going to go back to the old well of Brian Rust. He did everything for this team, played defense, played on the penalty kill, but also scored a lot and was on the power play. I just think not in the grand scheme of the league, obviously, but in terms of the Penguins team, if you're just looking at these 12 forwards, or these, if you want to spread it out to the other guys, these 16, 18 or so forwards, it couldn't be anyone else, really. I mean, Lars Eller's there, but I just think that offensive production didn't match what Brian Rust was able to produce. So in terms of this award for the Penguins, it couldn't, at least in my mind, be anyone else.
I mean, I'm going to go with Lars Eller, personally, because of the way that he was deployed in a lot of the season. I mean, fourth highest percentage of defensive zone shifts when it comes to faceoffs. 19% of his faceoffs were taken in the defensive zone. The only people that had more than that, Jeff Carter, Nola Chari, and Matt Nieto, a higher percentage. And again, those guys, you expect to do that, but the percentages and the performance is much higher when it comes to Lars Eller. He added some offense as well. He was a pure third line center. Does he look better as a fourth line center next year? Is he project better as a fourth line center? Yeah, probably. But as a third line center, that's exactly what the Penguins needed him to do. He came in, he really took that role and solidified it and made that a non-issue for the Penguins all season long. I don't think you can go into too many games of the 82 that he played and say, hey, Lars Eller was the issue in this one. Very infrequently did that happen. And I think that when you look at what he was able to do, similar to Brian Rust, he played the PK. He did have some power play time. He jumped up on the top power play unit a few times, which was not expected going into the season. Now, it didn't help, but nothing helped that power play, to be completely honest. But when you look at what he was able to do this season, I think Lars Eller provided what you ask a third line center to provide. And for that reason, I'm giving him the Selke. Also, because defensively, he was a stalwart. There's a reason that the best underlying numbers on the team are Valtteri Pustinen's. Because he played with Lars Eller. Like, it helps a lot. And Pustinen was protected a lot whenever he wasn't with Lars Eller. Whenever he got put next to Lars Eller, it was, hey, sink or swim, you're going to start a lot of shifts in the defensive zone. And Pustinen was helped out a lot by Eller. And I think that that also should go into the factoring of giving him the Team Selke. So that's why I'm going with Lars Eller for this one.
Mm-hmm. That's fair enough, too. Like I said, he would have been my second option because of that pure defensive mindset.
Yep.
I just like the idea of Brian Rust was able to do both at a very high level, and I think that was just sort of my edge.
There you go. Let's move over to Team Norris. Best defenseman. Sometimes you can argue it's the best offensive defenseman that's handed the Norris Trophy in the NHL. It certainly is and was last year, but who do you give the Team Norris to this season, Horwat?
I like the way you said best offensive defenseman. That's sort of the direction I went in for this, because I'm going to go Erik Karlsson because, now, I'm going to get flack, I know. Just it was his first year here. It took him a while to sort of really show what he could bring, but he still led defensemen in scoring, and it wasn't by much. But you know what we said going into this year was even an off year for Erik Karlsson is still, offensively, is going to be more points than the Penguins have seen since the 90s from a defenseman. Now, we didn't get that number.
No.
I think Crystal Tang's 68 from a couple seasons ago is still standing as like that number since the... I forget who we just said it was. But from those 90s defensemen, there's... But I just like the way Karlsson came into a new situation, definitely drowned out a lot of criticism, and ended up having a decent season in terms of being a good offensive defenseman. Didn't fix the power play, so what? We're not here to worry about that right now. But also, ended, at least in the early stages of the season, ended up being a reliable defensive mind and showed that he has the skill to be a defensive defense, not be a defensive defensive, but have good traits on the defensive side of the puck as well. And I just think, well, Marcus Pettersson got some flowers earlier as a unsung hero. I think Karlsson does deserve some acknowledgement for what he brought this year. And quite honestly, I mean, this has been Crystal Tang's award for how many years now?
Yeah.
And mostly, I just wanted to say this about Letang. Like, yeah, he had those down spurts, and they were ugly late in the season. Knowing the dude might need surgery this summer, though, I mean, that doesn't take away from... that doesn't take away from how down some of those moments were. But it at least gives a lot of people understanding of, okay, he was clearly hurt all season, apparently. He played through that, by the way. That's nuts.
It makes sense, whenever you look at his season in totality, how good he was earlier in the season and how he just kind of started to fade with, especially his overall game, his defensive game. It started to fade a little bit. The offense started to come out, but I think that was partially because, I mean, the Penguins were one of the worst scoring teams at one point this season. They needed more offense. So I think they said, listen, if you're going to focus on one thing, focus on offense because we desperately need it as a Penguins team. So I think it makes a lot of sense, but at the end of the day, if you're suiting up, you're suiting up. You're open to criticism. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from him because he played through that. And yes, I echo the sentiment of Mike Sullivan, who said he's a warrior for going through that, especially playing through something that's going to require surgery if he did do that the entire season. But you're still out there and you're still performing and you're still getting paid. You're out there for a reason. You need to perform. And if you can't perform, then maybe you should take a couple games off. Maybe you should sit on the bench. Maybe you should go to the point where you try to heal up a little bit, or at the very least get back to a maybe 80% instead of maybe playing at 70 or 65%. But at the end of the day, yeah, he put together a decent season. And Karlsson, same thing for him. Now, you mentioned 50, whatever he finished with, 54, 56 points this season, is behind a lot of Crosby-era defensemen. Sergei Gonchar, I believe, surpassed that twice. Chris Letang has surpassed that, I believe, four times. And even Ryan Whitney at one point had 58 points in a season with the Pittsburgh Penguins. So while no, it's not top five all-time of the Crosby era, you started to see glimpses of it later in the season where you can see what it is. And you saw the chemistry that he started to build with Crosby and with Malkin and the ability and the capability that he had. And maybe with a team that could actually finish, he would have finished with 60-plus points, and he would have been in that top five of the Crosby era as far as defensive scoring. So I don't take that away from him, but at the same time, I'm giving my Norris to Marcus Pettersson. I know it's not the normal sense of the award, but you know, I want to put my vote in, cast my vote for Marcus Pettersson. For all the reasons I said about the Unsung Hero Award, he was tossed between Letang and Karlsson like a rag doll, just basically told, hey, go neutralize them in the defensive zone, right? Go make sure that they don't cost us games in the defensive zone. He was the backbone of this team defensively all season long. And I understand saying that for the 26th ranked defense isn't too much, but if it wasn't for him, 26 might have been 32 because there were a lot of plays that he made that negated great opportunities for the other team that were created by their overall aggressiveness from other defensemen. So shout out to Marcus Pettersson. I thought he had a great season, and I thought that while the numbers might not echo it as much, I think when you look at the situation that he was forced into, he performed very well.
Yeah, it sounds like a me pick too, where it was based on defense and not scoring. But yeah, I just wanted to sort of give, because I knew you'd take Pettersson, and we discussed Pettersson earlier. I just feel like Carlson deserves a little bit more credit than what he's gotten. And
yeah,
tell you what, next year he might run away with it.
Yeah, he might run away with it next year with that chemistry and also hopefully a fixed power play. You know, mm-hmm. he scored how many points with a inept power play? And the same thing can go for a lot of people that typically feast off of that power play. I mean, you look at Ricard Raquel, everybody's down on his season, but he's also coming off a year where he had 11 power play goals. The leader for the Penguins was 10 this year, and it was Crosby. Speaking of that, I don't think we need to, you know, cloak and dagger this one. The team MVP is Sidney Crosby. Climbed from 17th to 10th in all-time NHL scoring, tied Wayne Gretzky for the most point-per-game seasons in NHL history, and finished the year with 25 points in the final 13 games to bring the Penguins oh-so-close to a playoff spot. Hard to refute. There's no other team MVP but Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, and does much more need to be said, really? No. Just look at the numbers, look at the way he kind of willed the team into the position they were in at the end of the season. Sure, there was that down, very bad part of the season that was right around the trade deadline. I think a lot of the team was feeling that, though. He played through it, made it through, played all 82 once again, and ended up having a better season than last year in terms of production. It's his third 40-goal season. Shocking it's only his third, by the way. But he's going to be right up there with the best of all time when it's all said and done. We had this discussion with Caps Trip yesterday. Listen to that episode on Thursday on their show. Mm-hmm. It couldn't be anyone else this year. I mean, he swept the awards in terms of his teammates voting for him for the Penguins Awards. And then, I mean, the NHLPA still voted him as one of the best players that is still out there. So it's going to be absolutely him. No choice. No one else. I don't think anyone else even holds a candle for second in this running.
No, I don't think there's anybody that comes even close. I mean, you could say Jake Guentzel, because up until the point where he got injured, he was performing at a very, very good clip. And for a long time this season, it was Jake Guentzel, Sidney Crosby battling it out for the most 5-on-5 points in the NHL. In a season where eventually three players finished with over 130 points. It's kind of crazy that they were up amongst those names at even strength. But, you know, at the end of the day, Guentzel was traded and Crosby continued after that. Kyle Dubas said disappointing, and that's 100% what it was. Disappointing reaction to the trade. Sidney Crosby bounced back and had the end of a season that you would expect from somebody, or from Crosby, with his team's back against the wall, which is 25 points in the final 13 games that was kicked off with a 4-point performance in Colorado. So obviously, a lot of opinions that could be thrown out here. Let us know what you think. The six awards were best first-year Penguin, breakout player of the year, unsung hero, Team Selke, Team Norris, and Team MVP. Let us know in the comments who you believe should take home those six awards. But that's going to do it for this episode of The Tip of the Iceberg. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time.